What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have a very special guest. My childhood best friend, my best friend. Like, listen, I love all my best friends. I got a lot of them. But when you talk about, like, up there, Owen's definitely up there, my guy for sure. It's a pleasure to have you on the pod. We've been trying to get this going for a while now, but now we're here and we're live. So welcome.
Marcelo, thanks for having me. I'm pumped to be here, man.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be awesome. We have a lot to talk about going from AAU basketball, going to one-on-ones, to high school, and then college, and then today. So we got a lot of crazy stuff to talk about. Overall, this is just my guy for sure, and I'm really excited to get into this pod. So to give Owen a proper intro, obviously my best friend for life, obviously a beast in high school, played basketball at NDCL, also was a baseball player as well. He's an entrepreneur. He runs his own business, his own shoe business, and also he likes to flip and sell. Owen, when it comes to business, Owen knows it. He knows so much about just how to make money fast, how to make money, and overall just, you know, how to keep on building as a brand, build with marketing. I don't know if that was a good intro or not, but this is one of the smartest dudes I know. So it's a little proper intro right there. But to get into the first question, me and Owen first met playing AAU basketball back in the seventh grade. Me and him both weren't good enough, so we were on the B team, unfortunately.
Oh, I can speak for myself. I was trash back then.
So fast forward to today, here we are now. You reflect on that early experience and that moment you DM'd me on Instagram to grab food.
I know that was the highlight of your day. I'm just playing. It was mine too. But on the real note, like, that was one of my first times really stepping out of my comfort zone just for basketball specifically. AAU, anybody that's ever played understands that your first AAU game is a different speed. That's a different speed from what you might have been playing city ball or any type of organized, even pick up basketball. It's a lot of fun. It's quick, it's fast, and it opened my eyes for sure as to what I need to get better at. And I'm sure it did for you too. But that was a team. Shout out Coach Earl. He's a GOAT.
Yeah.
Not really, but. It was a lot of fun. It was a bunch of guards playing together as guys that needed to play as bigs, trying to box out everybody. That was, we were undersized for sure, but it was a good time. And met you, met a couple kids from my high school, met some other friends at some local cities. But when I shot you that DM on Instagram, I think it was after a tournament or two, and we were driving home, my dad and I, from the tournament. I was like, man, like, stuff's just not going my way. Like, I do like this kid on my team, Marcel. There's a couple other kids, and I don't really know him that well. My dad's like, yo, you should shoot Cello a text if he wants to go grab some grub in between games. Didn't work out, but you're like, hey, like, let's do it another time. I shot you a DM on Instagram. Like, cool, all right, it's not gonna work out this time. Eventually, I don't know if we went out to eat or what, but
yeah, I think we went to B-dubs together.
Okay,
B-dubs. I think it was like us and like three other families.
Dude, we just started clicking off rip, man. I could tell you were a genuine dude. Obviously, your pops is a very genuine dude too. Love Mr. Leone. Shout out to Leone fam. But yeah, we were just clicking off bad, and that's kind of where our friendship started.
Yeah, I know, definitely crazy. And like, I remember like during like the this is the one thing that I'll never forget. So my dad, obviously, like, our dads, you know, shout out to the Redmond family as well. My, like, second family here, seriously. And I'll never forget, because my dad was talking about it, I think, like, pretty recently. But I remember after one of the games, like, this one kid was starting, and, like, he like, shouldn't have been starting at all. And my dad literally wrote down on a piece of paper who should start and who should sit. And he gave it to the coach and said, here, this is what the starting lineup should be. And, like, I think it was, like, me, you, and then, like, a few other people. And then like, we like won that game by like 20 or like 15, and it was so funny because like we all knew that like you like should have been starting, and then my dad just goes like, here, just hands him the piece of paper. and then I think from there, like, from then on, like, I think you started, like, me and you started like every game together and just like played. But that was the one thing that I'll never forget from AAU, because we played some like tough teams and then we played some really bad teams. But
and side note too, like, if we ever beat a team by 20, you know they're trash, bro. You know,
yeah,
because we were not good.
We were not good. Like, I don't think we ever placed in like a tournament or won any medals. We won nothing.
First round exits every time.
Dude, we won nothing together, bro. But those were definitely great times. And obviously, like, we traveled to a bunch of places. Like we traveled to this one gym. It was in like the middle of nowhere. It was right by Kalahari. Do you remember? They had no ceiling. It was all like foam.
You talking about
like,
when we were driving out there and there were buggies?
Yeah. That was crazy. We played in like some like, I don't know if it was like a church, like a gym, but there was like no ceiling. Mm-hmm. And like, we played against like a local team here. We both traveled like all the way out there and played in a not so good gym. But I mean, we have like memories like that were just so much fun. fun, and we went all over the place to play. So AAU was definitely a fun time. And even just like when we were in that one gym where it was like a big like auditorium. Remember, it was like me, you, your dad, my dad. We were all like eating lunch together in that big like, all, like it was like a stage.
Yeah,
it was weird. And like the court was like all the way on the ground. Like you were like looking like above. You could see above the rim.
We played the TNBA A team.
Yes,
and we beat them.
Yeah, exactly. So like just like stories like that, you know, just so much fun. And definitely grateful for AAU for sure. Even though it kind of became pay to play at the end of it, which I think that was the main reason why I left it, because a lot of kids were like, hey, like, you know, if you want to be in the team, you got to pay like $100, or if you want to try out, you got to pay $30 to come try out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, like I might as well just go get a trainer or go do my own thing. But overall, it was just a blast for sure.
Yeah, it was great.
So we've had some intense one-on-one battles over the years, you know, going from like all the way to the eighth grade to like even now, like last week, me and Owen still played. It's still pretty intense. So those games are always close and always fun. So how do you think those games helped build both our friendship and our basketball IQ?
Well, I think we're both competitors at the end of the day. Like, look at you, you're an entrepreneur yourself, starting your own podcast, starting your own basketball league, donating to kids that need help, as well as being an athlete on the floor to a great basketball player. And we always raise each other, and I think that's part of our friendship, is holding each other accountable, not only on the floor, but off the floor with everything that we do and how we interact with other people. So I think that kind of just speaks levels to what we do inside the lines as well as outside the lines. Whenever we play, it's always extremely competitive. Neither of us like to lose, period, but when we lose to each other, well, that's personal. It's a one-on-one battle. Like, yeah. We're taking that shit personally, and I love to do it. It's a ton of fun, and I think it, like you said, it raises our intensity levels and the way that we push each other.
We've always made each other better. Like, we'd always, like, you know, okay, if Owen's going to the right, like, I'm gonna play him to his left, or, you know, I know his one, like, step back. Like we just, like, learn how to guard certain moves that way. Like, when we played in high school, like, we translated it to, like, an actual, like, you know, live event, and, like, we would know how to stop that or know how to guard a certain player. Those were awesome. And also, as well, like, obviously, me and you, like, hate losing. Like, that's the one thing that we both hate. So, like, even though, like, you know, we get pissed off in the end, like, we always still have to, like, hug it out or, like, dab each other up and just kind of just, like, move on past it. Because I feel like when you lose, you're just like, man, like, come on, like, I'm not going to go, like, say, like, what's up to him. Or,
for
like,
sure, yeah.
You know, you just kind of get down in, like, the dumps, which definitely happened to me last week. I was like, bro, come on.
I've been there.
But, yeah, I mean, the best part is that all of our games have been close. Like, our series, like, we'll always play, like, a best of seven. It'll always be, like, 4-3, or it'll always be, like, 4-2. Like, it'll always be close. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, the games are always, like, 11-10 or, like, 11-9. And, like, it's always just, like, something very close.
Yeah, except last week.
All right, bro. But hey, listen, bro, I'm still getting in some basketball training, bro.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, all of our games are always so much fun. And they really bring, like, the best out of us. And overall, it just makes you, like, a better player because, you know, me being, like, a, like, taller size guard, like, you know, in high school, I'd always go against, like, the smaller, faster guards that would always, you know, rip the ball from me or would always just get to the spot faster than me. So playing against Owen, like, I was always able to, you know, learn how to move quickly. And so that way they can't steal the ball, because obviously I have long arms and, like, the ball is just, and I'm skinny too. So, like, the ball is just, like, wide open for anyone to take. So I've definitely learned a lot from that.
Likewise for me too, though. You know, like, I was always playing against people that were bigger than me. I was not as strong as I am now in high school. I was pretty much weak. So playing against you, it was always having to body up and stay strong on my upper and lower half, which I was able to learn to do. Didn't as much have that aspect in high school, but I progressed.
Yeah, now you're, like, body me in like, the paint, but come on. I'm still going to pack your shit, though.
Oh, hell no. We can roll the tape from 2 years ago. We can roll the
tape. But, so you had an outstanding senior season at NDCL, averaging around 15 points per game. So what did that season mean to you personally and athletically?
That season meant a lot. One word to describe really that season and just kind of anyone's athletic career is adversity. Something that I faced a lot of throughout my younger career as well as high school career, sports, I don't know, college career. But going into that season, I didn't see the playing time I wanted junior year. And I definitely think I should have been top seven guys on the team. I should have been one of the first ones off the bench. But senior year started, played almost every minute of every game. But the problem is this was during COVID. With that being said, we got quarantined 3 different times. So when you get quarantined, it's a 1 week break, no matter what, from first touch COVID or whatever it is. So if you could, or maybe it was a week and a half, if you can envision, you know, you're playing, you're practicing every day, and then, oh, you get a pink notice at school at like 1 o'clock. You got your team, someone on your team got exposed to COVID. You guys all have to go home for a week and a half, and there's no practicing, there's no shooting. It's almost like you just take a complete break, and it's the end of your season. And you come back, everybody else has still been playing your full season mode. Your games continue, and you got to fit more games in because they got canceled because you were in quarantine. And not only you're playing every day, but you didn't practice for a week and a half, and it's like a whole new season. And then we got quarantined again, and that happened three times. So it was like we had four different seasons. With all that going on, I also started dealing with shin splints. Those got atrocious. By the end of the year, I wasn't even practicing. I was just playing games and just popping Advil, get through it. So to be able to average 15 points a game and have some of the accolades that I did meant a lot to me, and I felt better about where I was at as an athlete for basketball
too. Yeah, and like kind of going into like the next question, I mean, you led the News Herald in three-pointers made, earned Player of the Week honors, and you were selected as an all-star during your senior year. So what did those accomplishments mean to you, and how did you stay like kind of like locked in throughout all of that?
Yeah, they meant a lot, and like you said, that all came senior year. So junior year, I didn't get any accolades. I didn't make the playing time or the shots up. And senior year, I still, like, our coach didn't run plays for anybody individually on the team. We would just run general, like, sets. And to have those accolades kind of just, it shows the hard work that I put in during the offseason, during the school year, and during the actual basketball season. I considered myself the leader on that team as the point guard. I had to hold us together. Our record did not reflect the result that I wanted by any means. We were about 500, so that was not ideal. But I appreciated those accolades, and I was thankful for them. I also think I could have done a lot more for our team. So that irks me whenever I look back on my basketball career at NECL specifically. It's just like, I think I could have done a lot more if I had the opportunity as well. But I look back at that and I feel good about it.
Yeah. And obviously, like, you know, throughout COVID, I mean, those times were just insane. Like, you know, people, I mean, I know we played teams that had kids wearing masks. And then also too, when you came off the court, you have to throw on a mask. And even during practice, and you'd have to get tested every day, get your, you know, temperature checked and like all of that stuff. Like, I feel like that time was just so crazy for us. And like, we never processed it. We just went through it, just did what we had to do and got out. But like, when you like look back and think about it, you're like that's like crazy. Like, you had two tickets a game for your mom and dad to come.
Yeah.
Your family had to watch on the live stream. Like, usually like those games would be packed and you have a huge student section, and kind of like what like we went through was just insane. So for you to accomplish all that stuff during COVID and all of that is very impressive.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
And obviously too, like, you know, obviously I didn't have the best high school career with coaches and stuff, but you know, being your brother, like, I was so happy for you to see you go through all that, because obviously junior year, me and you both kind of didn't have, you know, great coaches, and we didn't really get what we wanted out of that year. But obviously you having your senior year, like, I was so happy for you, because like, I just know like all of your hard work paid off. So being your bro, it definitely meant a lot to me seeing you win.
Thanks, so that means a lot, man. I really appreciate that.
Yes, sir. And a lot of people don't know this about me, but I was really thinking about transferring to go play with Owen going into my senior year. I think I was looking at to go play with Owen, even like Orange, even like I think there was one other school, but I was really looking to transfer because obviously my coaches just weren't the best. But I feel like if me and Owen would have played together, we would have been unstoppable for sure.
I think it would have been a great time, and I think the locker room for us would have looked a lot different for sure. Different dynamic.
Dude, a lot different, bro. Yeah. But yeah, going to the next question. Baseball was one of your main sports growing up, and even throughout high school. So how did that sport shape you, and what role did it play in your athletic development? Because obviously baseball like has been a big part of your life. Like, that was kind of like your bread and butter.
Yeah, it was. And that was something, you know, everybody, not everybody, but most kids start when they're three or four and they're playing t-ball. They come out playing rag or soccer or whatever it may be. And that was one of the sports that I really fell in love with from the beginning. And when I first started playing travel baseball is what they called it, from the year of 8 to 9 years old all the way until I was 17, I would say, I played travel baseball. And starting when I was 9, my coaches at the end of every year would sit down with me and they would talk about some few things that I would do really well for us and like a list of things I needed to work on that were my weaknesses and things I needed to improve. So automatically from a young age of 9, I was learning and I was having exit interviews with my coaches of what I need to get better at and they expect me to be a leader on the team and hold myself accountable, but also others accountable, as well as get better every day. And there is no such thing as an off season when you're playing sports. Off season is the time to get better and to work on your game. So that helped me establish the roots and really the grounds for hard work and to be an athlete and what it takes. You know, you practice with older kids when you're younger as well, or you play basketball, you play pickup with older kids when you're younger, and you see, man, like, they're a lot more athletic, or they're really good at this. I need to get better at this because I can't beat them this way, or I can't go left and cross back right, or whatever it might be. You learn those things and learn that it takes a lot more effort than maybe you would think when you were 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And you're playing
ball. And even with baseball too, I mean, it takes so much practice just to be able to hit the ball. Like, I was always horrible at hitting the ball. Like, I was really good at pitching, but like, hitting was like never my thing. Like, taking that time just to really like master like the art of just hitting a baseball is just crazy. And just being patient in the box.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, you watch the MLB today, like, these players are hitting crazy home runs, ball coming in at 100 miles an hour. Like, you know, you could easily get hurt by any of those pitches, like,
for sure.
Any time.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy, like, seeing that. And obviously, like, growing up, you know, our speed, you know, with like pitches, like, all that like evolves over time,
yeah,
even with like the skill and all of that. But you know, as a kid, like, you just don't realize like how tough it is.
No, you don't. And the best players in the world get on base at least get a hit 3 out of 10 sometimes, and those are considered cream of the crop best players in the world. So you learn that failing is okay. Not that necessarily you want to validate that every time, but you're going to fail when you play sports. And I think that's one of the most important reasons that kids should play sports at a young age, is that they're going to learn to fail and what it means to get back up and to try again, even though you might fail again. So yeah. I think that baseball is a great example of that, but every sport, similar to basketball, best players shoot 50% from the field. And even then you're like, holy cow, you shoot 50%. That's amazing. But yeah, it's crazy. It's a tough sport.
It is. So you and your squad made a run to the intramural basketball championship at Dayton University this past year. Yeah. So talk about what intramural sports have meant to you in college, both on and off the court.
It means a lot. It's a lot of fun. I know you know that. Like at JCU, you were the king of the court out there. You guys were always in the championship. And granted, it might have been a smaller pool of teams, but it's fun. Like we're all competitors. Everybody that's playing is playing for fun, but also to compete. And you find a good balance to that. You also meet new people. And making that run to the championship, unfortunately, we didn't bring home the trophy, but it's exciting. You know, you're telling your housemates, you're telling your friends, yo, like, pull up to our game. It's going to be a good time. Obviously, we're not our Division I basketball team that's dunking on everybody, but
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. And to close out, you know, my collegiate career with just academically and some intramural sports, that was a fun way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Like, intramural sports is, like, the one thing that I take away from the college experience. Like, yeah, it's just, like, fun and games, but, like, when you're playing with, like, some, like, your best friends and you're having fun with it and, you know, it still brings out that competitive spirit in you. That's the one thing, like, you know, I guess I was kind of looking for after not playing basketball in college. Like, how was I going to get that drive? How was I going to get that, you know, competitiveness? How was I going to get that blood flowing again?
Yeah.
Like, intramural sports did. Like, everyone took it, like, pretty serious, too.
Yeah.
People really try their hardest, and that was definitely, like, the one thing that I'm definitely grateful for throughout, like, all of it, for sure. But, you know, obviously, you went to Dayton. So, in 2022, you launched your Fly High streetwear while in college. So, what inspired that brand, and what was your vision for where it's headed?
So that brand was inspired through an entrepreneurship class. It was one of my capstone classes, and we had to pitch an idea to our class, 25 students. It was like a small business idea, of which 4 out of the 25 kids in the class were selected as, like, not captains, but managers or owners that would start the business. And we would go through a process of hiring the individuals in our class to be part of our team. So I hired a team of 5 individuals, including myself. From there, what I did is I pitched this idea of Fly High Streetwear to be a collegiate streetwear brand, really just representing our university pride and spirit through cheap, authentic clothing. We weren't allowed to put the Dayton logo on our clothes, but what I did is I took a saying that we use on campus. Alabama uses Roll Tide. For Dayton Flyers, we use Roll Yours to say, go Flyers, roll yours. But I put that on a t-shirt. I put it on sweatshirts. I put it on our Dayton St. Patrick's Day merch. Anybody that knows about college St. Patrick's Days know that Dayton's the place to be. So if you ever get the chance, definitely drop down there. But it was very successful. I had a lot of fun with it. Everybody on my team played a big part as to our success, whether it was marketing, accounting, sales. But sophomore year was when that business took place. And the last 2 years, a couple of my buddies and I who started it, was part of the team with me, I asked if they'd want to come back, 2 of them, and do some sales and continue to work on our brand, which we did. And it was a lot of fun. It was successful. What I see for it in the future, I've taken a pause on it currently. I've been focusing on other things, but I would definitely be open to the idea of sharing our merch designs with some people on campus to continue the brand.
Yeah. So obviously, like, once you graduate college, like, you know, you don't really, I guess, like, not like continue what you started, but, like, it kind of, like, ends. For you, like, this is, like, when you graduated, was that, like the ending of the streetwear, or could you still, like, continue it? I don't know if, like,
no, I think
we're in that right, but.
If I had more, we did have a website. We had a Shopify website that I was using, but I closed that down because I just didn't want to pay the fees and we could make much more money in person. Plus, we were better salesmen. I think that was kind of what made us so successful, is that my buddies and I were good at making account, making people value the piece that was in front of them. I couldn't do it online because we didn't have the footwork to the website that we needed. And it's more of an in-person sales thing. We would need more marketing. I think that for me, I just have to take stock. I don't have the time for it.
Right. Yeah. And obviously you run your other business, OTG Kicks and Apparel, which you started a long time ago. So walk me through how your journey began and what inspired you to take the shoe business route.
The reason that I started this business is when I was younger, my parents wouldn't buy me the basketball shoes that I wanted because they were always so expensive. Like, oh, I want the KDs. I want the LeBrons. I want the Hyperfuses. Any real hoopers from like 2010 know what those are.
Yeah, the Hyperdunks too.
Yeah, the Hyperdunks. And I was like, man, like, how am I going to get these shoes? Well, I started flipping random stuff like around my house, like jerseys or whatever it might be. And I asked a couple of my buddies that actually, I don't know if you know Isaiah Gundani, we might have played AAU together, but
yeah.
I asked him, I was like, hey, like, I've seen you had these Yeezys and whatnot. I don't know how to get my hands on them. He teach me a little bit about it. Shout out Zay. He showed me the ropes a little bit, like, oh, I go on these websites. There's this store called Exhibition in Cleveland. And I kind of gave me like baseline level info. That's all I needed. And I took that and I ran with it. I was like, okay, like, this is how I buy and sell stuff. There's StockX, there's Go, there's in-person sales, there's resale stores. stores. I can buy these shoes at Finish Line and Foot Locker that are one-time limited release items like Jordans or Yeezys, and they're never going to restock again. And I can resell them on a secondary platform or in person in order to turn a profit. And then I can buy the shoes that I want, which would be awesome. So I'm able to make money, buy the shoes that I want, see and touch all these cool shoes that I want to like look at and admire almost. And from there, I began scaling it, getting a lot more pairs in person, online, and really just understanding the business and gaining some local plugs, I guess you could say, at different stores and knowing store managers or sales representatives. And if you take care of them, they'll take care of you. And from beginning 2020, I quit baseball for senior year of high school at NECL in order to run this business. And I've been loving it ever since.
Yeah. And like, not only do you sell shoes, but you sold like Xboxes, Nintendo Switches.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just sell shoes. Like, you sell like PS5s, like everything.
Yeah. Whatever's coming out that's limited and I have the resources and able to get my hands on it, I'm going to make sure that I'm able to make some money off of it.
Yeah. And also too, like, I know, like, I was in the sports card world for a little bit. Like, obviously with you being in the shoe business, like, you meet so many different people that have so many different connections and stories and backgrounds, like, you know, and you eventually get to build those relationships with those people, you know, that are able to say, hey, these shoes are dropping here, like giving you info and as well as just like helping you build your brand.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, you meet a lot of good people. And I think that's something that I didn't really expect out of the shoe industry. There's some people that are slimy and it can be seen as a business that's not very sought after or can be morally correct. But I met a lot of morally good people. I met a lot of good friends and I've made some nice connections. I've lost one friend specifically that had a store in Mayfield, Dalen. He ran DF Kicks. Very sad story. I don't wish that upon anybody, but you meet a lot of good people. And that's something that I didn't expect to get out of this business. And I'm happy that I did.
Yeah. So now, obviously, you know, graduating from college, do you plan on continuing OTG Kicks and Apparel or do you plan on stopping it anytime soon?
I'm not going anywhere. I love this. I love this stuff. When I start my full-time job, July 14th, bless you.
Thank you.
At Tech Systems, I'm going to go full throttle on my business, take care of what I need to take care of, go the extra mile every way that I can. Because like you, I always give 110% effort. For OTG, that's something that I will be doing in my spare time, you know, side hustle. I'm not going to be looking at it during the day, but after hours when I'm late at night or weekends and I have some spare time that I use for hobbies, I put towards that for sure.
Awesome, brother. Well, yeah. Now, obviously, you know, with you expanding your kind of like your kind of product, I mean, you're selling a whole lot of different stuff. And who knows if you'll even move away from the shoe business and start selling other stuff too.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited for it. And I'm very proud of you, bro.
Thanks, Marcel.
Seriously. So what's the most valuable lesson you've learned from the people closest to you, whether it's friends, family, or mentors?
The most valuable thing I've learned is authenticity, integrity, and treating others the way you want to be treated. I think those three things speak levels to who someone is, what they've gone through, and really just their roots as a person. By sticking to those things, you'll never change who you are. You'll always be your authentic self. And that's who I want to be. I never want to change for anybody else. And I'm always going to stop being me. Just like, I know you're always going to be Marcella. You know,
always.
I love that about you. And that's why you're one of my best friends and my best friend. Like, I appreciate you. And this podcast is awesome. And you're always going to be family to me. But those three things are true.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, on top of that, I would say like one thing that I've always learned is just to live in the moment. I feel like a lot of people are always focused on the next big thing. They're always focused on the next big trip, the next big exam, the next big, you know, like the biggest thing that's happening in their life. But I feel like if you focus on those big moments, you're going to forget about the small ones. Like, yeah. You know, oh man, like I ran into John from elementary school today.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in 12 years. Like, I finally got to, you know, see how he's doing, catch up with him. Or even like, yeah, like I helped like some old lady at the grocery store, like grab something off the top shelf.
For sure.
So it's like small things like that, you know, just living in the moment, like knowing where you're at, kind of being, you know, present. I feel like that's just super important. Like, obviously, you know, we all have big things planned and big things coming up, but it's like, you just got to take it day by day and eventually, you know, just like reflect and just keep on learning about ways to improve and keep on learning about yourself as well. It's like very important.
I love the way you put that.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Come on. So, so looking back on everything we've experienced together, the highs, lows, everything, what do you think has kept our friendship so solid through the years?
Authenticity. Those three things I said before, being authentic, integrity, and just treating each other the way we want to be treated, bro. Like, you've always been the realist. You always tell me how it is. You're never going to cloud it or shade it or whatever the truth is. And you've always been right by my side whenever I need you. Highs, lows, like you said, we're fam. Whatever you need, I'm there for you, bro. You know what it is. Like, we're locked in. Come on.
Yeah, facts. Like, I mean, I would say, like it's always been, like, real. Like, it's never been, like, oh, dang, I'm, like, jealous of, like, what he's doing. Or,
yeah.
Dang, like, I'm low-key hating on what he's doing. It's always been, like, if you're winning, I'm winning.
Yeah.
Or, like, if I'm winning, you're winning. It's always, like, we're always, like, proud of each other and, like, what we're doing. I feel like a lot of people, like to hate on, like, you know, their friends or kind of get jealous of their friends. Like, oh, dang, like, he's doing better than me.
Yeah.
Or, dang, like, he's doing this that I'm not doing. But, like, with you, it's always been, like, hey, like, if I'm winning, you're winning. Or I'm always, like, hey, like, Owen's doing this. Like, I got to get up to his level so me and him could both be doing this, like, together.
Yeah.
Or it's, like, it's like never like, dang, like I'm hating on Owen's shoe business. Like, I think it's trash. Like, yeah.
All those are dogs are fake. Trash.
Yeah, like it's never been hate, and it's always been real about, like, you know, what, like, we've gone through and even what we've experienced in life, and even like going to, like, to different schools, like, you know, obviously being from Cleveland, like we've always been very close to each other, so I've always been like, hey, let's just go out to eat, let's go hoop, let's go do this, whereas like when we went to college, like it was more like, dang, like when am I gonna see you next, like it was always like we had always have to plan something, or always like wait until like that spring break, or wait until like that fall break, but like, you know, like I feel like we've always kept each other real, even like if we wouldn't talk for like 2 to 3 months, we'd always call and it'd be the same thing. Like,
yeah.
It'd be like if me and you were sitting right next to each other, like having a deep combo.
For sure.
So I feel like that's always been real too, because I feel like you have those like kind of like catch up friends where it's like you have that little like small talk,
uh-huh,
and then that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas like it's always like we always got more to talk about, always got something to build off of. So definitely been one of the realest and always been by my side. One thing that stays true for sure is always like I'm always like one call away. Like if you need something, like no matter what, like I'm always gonna answer that call, or I'm always gonna call you back.
You know what it is. Yep.
Knowing you though, like your phone's probably on like do not disturb. I'm gonna have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, you can, I'll hit you back.
Might take like 3 to 5 business days, but hey, like, hey,
we're young entrepreneurs.
But yeah, so now this is the quote of the episode. Obviously, on the spot, it's a quote from, you know, famous athlete, Google, anything, just any quote that I can get my hands on online.
Yeah.
So overall, you're gonna talk about what this quote means to you and a quote that you live by every single day. So this quote is from Google and it says, "There are friends, there's family, and there's friends that become family." So overall, what does that mean to you in your life?
I think that means a lot. You know, we came from breaking bread at B-Dubs to sitting at a podcast table together that you created 10 years later and talking about our friendship and where we've been over the last 10 years. This is everything I could want out of family. And friends are friends, but it gets to a point where you're no longer friends and you're blood, you're related, you're family. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you or your family. And it's likewise, I already know. Like, you don't have to say anything. Like, we've always been that way, whether it's distance that keeps us apart or time and we haven't been texting and we get back together and we hang out and go get food and we're chopping it up, catching up, and nothing changes. Like, we're always us. We're always authentic. So friends turn into family. That's something that time and trials, tribulations bring you guys together. And that's when it breaks into family. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, even with like people that like I never thought would like come into my life. And like, there's certain people, like, I'm like, dang, like, you know, we just became friends like this and then we clicked. And, you know, you have obviously like other great best friends, like, you know, like Nick, obviously one of like your boys, like, you know, you have friends like that you grow up with and you eventually they turn into family and you come over for dinners and you like do things like that. So like those bonds are just truly special. And like, it's rare to have friends that, that last for like 10 years or even 5 years.
Yeah.
Like it's very rare to have that. So, we are definitely both very blessed to have that for sure.
100% we are.
But yeah, so that'll do.
Wait, I got one quote. You said that one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Dang, dude. Okay.
I was like, wait, I have one. It always says one quote. It takes a lifetime to build a reputation and a second to ruin it. And that's the quote that his grandmom always said. But I think that's very true. Like I said, those three things, integrity, authenticity, and treating others the way you want to be treated. You live by those three rules. You treat everyone else like the way you want to be treated. Don't change up. Don't stop being yourself. The moment you change who you are, it's going to break your reputation. You always want to treat people with respect and integrity and due diligence they deserve.
Yes, sir. Well said, brother. But that'll do it for this podcast episode. Owen, my brother, my best friend for life. I love you till death, bro. And I'm so glad we were able to do this. Obviously, talk about all of our experiences and what we've been through in life. And you're definitely my guy for life. So, and now after this, we're about to go get a hooping session.
Yeah.
So I'm very hyped for that. But thanks again for hopping on today, brother.
Thanks, Marcel. I love you, man. Thanks for having me on the pod.
Yes, sir. So make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share with friends, family. Season 4 is now on the way. We got great episodes coming out, and it's going to be a blast. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you all are excited for it as well. So new episodes every Tuesday at 2 p.m. I mean, not 2 p.m., at noon. So that'll do it. Peace.